Hello and welcome to Cruisin' for a Reviewsin', the podcast where I get a friend to watch a Tom Cruise movie they've never seen before and then review it with me. I'm your host, Cara Westworth, and today I'm joined by my lovely mate, Chloe.
Hey, Cara. Thank you for having me.
Thank you for joining me today, Chloe. So we are back on my bullshit, which is the Mission Impossible series.
So fun.
So we had a little break because a pandemic happened and it just felt a bit awkward getting people over. But now Australia's doing pretty good, yeah. So we feel confident in visiting each other's houses.
Yes.
Right. So we were up to Mission Impossible 4, also known as Ghost Protocol. It was made in 2011, directed by Brad Bird, who is more famous for directing movies like The Incredibles.
Oh.
So he mostly does animated movies, and this was his first live action film. It's, in my opinion, one of the best ones. I'm maybe second to Fallout. I have some feelings. Maybe I'll explain it, but basically the ending, I think, could have been stronger for me to make it number two. But we'll get into that. So, Chloe, we literally have just watched this movie.
Just finished it 5 minutes ago.
We have my Ethan Hunt doll from this movie standing so over great. Us right now.
Beautiful.
And I would like to know, how did you like the movie?
I actually really enjoyed it. As you know, I have watched all four in the last 4 days.
Mm-hmm.
And this is probably my favorite out of all of them.
It was just
chock-a-block with fun times the whole way through. You heard me. I was like, oh my god, giggling, and what is happening? I can't believe that's happening the whole time. It was awesome.
It's absolutely nonstop.
Yeah.
It's the more every time I watch it, I guess I've watched it so many times that I don't concentrate on it, and actually very easy to forget details of movies. So I had to read the synopsis really closely and do all my notes because I was like, what the hell's going on? So yes. I had to like stop and like, okay, this is what's happening now, just in case. Because a lot happens and it's a little bit complex, but even if you don't follow that, I think it's still
fun. Yeah. Yeah.
Like, it's all the action scenes. There's some of the best stunts in the whole franchise in this movie.
Great stunts.
So,
terrifying.
Tom Cruise is crazy.
Yeah.
Okay, well, let us have a chat about what happens in the movie.
Mm-hmm.
Strap yourselves in, guys, because it's probably not going to be a short one. Because, a lot happens. Okay, so the movie opens. We are in Budapest. There is someone being chased, being shot at. Has this cool thing where he throws this something down the ground. And it blows up into this big inflatable mat that he lands on. And isn't he the guy from Lost?
Yes, Josh Holloway.
Yeah.
Oh, I love him.
So he is getting away from some bad guys. Unfortunately, he's stopped by a beautiful blonde woman who shoots him. And he panned to his phone and it says assassin. And he just caught it too late.
Mm.
And then we go meet Ethan. So Ethan is in Russia. Mm-hmm. He is in a
jail.
Very nasty looking Russian jail. And I've watched a few doco series on Netflix about Russian jails, and they look fucked.
Mm.
So, yeah, Ethan's in a jail for some reason, and Benji and another IMF person are getting him out, except Ethan doesn't want to get out. So, they have taken over all of the security system, and Benji's, like, opening some cells, and a big riot happens when the guards try and intervene, and
you're like, what are you doing, Ethan? You got to get out of there.
Yeah, and he does this, thing, and I'm like, oh, this is so hot, where he goes down to the bottom level by just, like, grabbing the handrails and, like, flipping himself over, and you can see it's Tom Cruise the whole way down. You're like, oh my god.
Yeah, one thing I noticed is you don't actually see Tom's face at all for 5 minutes of the movie.
Yeah.
You see the back of him and the side of him, and then finally you get to see his face and you're like, oh yeah, Mission Impossible time.
He basically doesn't want to leave straight away. Benji, who is now in this movie for good, like in the movie franchise properly for good, because in the third one he was just like the tech guy back at the headquarters.
Yeah.
So he's like, they can't hear each other, but they're arguing via gestures. It's like, no, you've got to go to the rendezvous point. And Ethan's like, no, you're going to open. And he's just like, just waiting there. I'm going to wait here until you open it. So basically he's doing that because he wants to get someone out with him. A Russian guy that we find out was helping Ethan out with intel.
Yes.
Get out of jail. It's all very exciting. Like, they get to a dead end room and the Russian guy he saved is like, this was your plan?
You better have a better idea than this.
But the other agent uses this cool vibrating device that blows a big hole in the floor and they get out. Yeah, now they're out of jail. So all the time they're playing Dean Martin over, so there's like this fucking giant
riot. Adds a
riot.
Lot to it. I love that.
And there's a Dean Martin song like over the thing, which is a nice there's probably a word for it, like
juxtaposition.
Juxtaposition. Yeah. There we go. That's it. They pick up Ethan. Benji's there, and Ethan's like, Benji, why are you here? And it's like, oh, I passed the field exam. I'm super stoked to be here. Oh, yeah, and there's also a credits sequence, which the reason why I'm pointing that out is because they finally, because I think the last two were the ones that didn't have showing key scenes from the rest of the movie.
Oh.
So the first one, yeah, I think that was something they did in the TV series where the credits would always show like really cool bits from the upcoming episode. Mm. And so they did that in the first movie, stopped in the second and third, and then picked it back up. It's just really cute. Like when you, if you haven't watched the movie, it doesn't make any sense to you, but having watched the movie, you're like, yes, that's a good bit. That's a good bit. They're in the van. Jane Carter is the other agent who's with them, and she is quite an awesome IMF agent. In fact, she's only in this one movie, but apparently she's a fan favorite and
bring it back.
Lots of fan fiction about her, even though she's only in one.
No, she was great.
She's awesome. Who's she played by? She's talking about Paula Patton.
Mm-hmm.
I don't know her from anything else.
No.
No.
Neither do I.
Yeah, they're like, why do we have to break you out of prison? He's like, well, I was in there for a reason. So obviously, if you got me out, something bad has happened.
Something bigger than that.
Yeah. Mm. And she has to reveal that someone who you find out she was actually in a relationship with, the Sawyer guy.
Mm. Josh.
on his mission, it was to get some Russian launch codes for missiles. And he was ambushed along the way and then shot. Mm. And so the assassin, who Ethan identifies as a lady called Sabine, actually took the codes, which means she's probably going to be on selling them. And he like talks about, oh, the IMF are actually looking for this guy called Cobalt. That's probably the person who arranged for all this. So it's all come together. So Ethan obviously knows kind of what's going on. They immediately get a mission on a payphone. They need to, and also, what's his name? Bogdan is taken away in another van.
That's right.
He's at risk. So he's out of jail, and because he was feeding this valuable intel to Ethan, he's basically got a get out of jail free card, which is quite nice.
Yeah, thank you.
Although I wonder why he was in jail. Hopefully it wasn't for anything. I'm sure in Russia you can go to jail for like, I don't know, jaywalking, probably. Who knows? Definitely for being gay, so. So yeah, they get their new mission, which they've been told they have 4 hours to get into the Kremlin, which is like the government of Russia, I think.
Heavily guarded.
Yeah, and very nice buildings, but yeah, heavily guarded. And it'd be like getting into the White House, I think, essentially. And they need to, Ethan has to be the general, and they need to go get this file on Cobalt to work out who he is, because they actually don't know who he is. And without knowing that, they can't really do much else from there.
And Simon Pegg's with him, disguised as well, which, knowing Simon Pegg in so many other movies, you're like, it's not really, you don't really pass off as someone who's doing this, but.
I also like this bit because Benji's so excited to be there and he's like whispering. I'm like, I'm so excited.
Am I doing good?
Yeah. Am I doing all right? I know, I babble and I'm nervous. Oh no, I'm still babbling. And like, I wish we got to wear masks though. And it's very cute.
Yeah, it's very cute.
So it's obviously, I think it's like his first mission because the way they kind of talk about it.
Seems like it.
So they get in and Agent Carter uses the balloon, carrying a camera to drop a device through the chimney, which is basically how they override the system so that they can get in, scanning ID and everything, or all that kind of complex Mission Impossible stuff we've come to love.
Very complex this time, yes.
They have to, so to get into the archive room that has all the files, they have a very ingenious way of tricking the guards. So they have a thing that projects a sound of a dripping tap that distracts the guard.
So awesome.
So he goes away and then they put up this big screen that takes out the whole corridor. It's basically got a projector. I don't know. I mean, it's not like a thing that exists.
It's what it's hiding and then projects it on the front so that it thinks you're looking
at. You look like you're looking down the corridor.
Yeah, but really
it's also
hidden.
The cameras line up with the person's eyes. So because if he, it wouldn't be the right angles and everything. So it's all very complicated. And there's a really cute bit where Benji bends down to pick up like the iPad down below and just stands up in front of things. So on the screen,
his eyes are projected.
This giant face of Benji on the screen.
So good.
And you see Ethan's hand push him out of the way. But luckily the guy's not looking, so they get away with it.
Yeah, a bit more comedy in this one than the other two.
Yeah, it was actually quite a few little jokey bits, which is really cute. I guess I think that's probably why they introduced Benji to it.
A little comic relief to all the action.
Because it's like you can't be tense the whole time.
That's true. Yes.
Thinking Ethan Hunt's going to fall out of a building or whatever. So they get into the archive room. Problem is all the files have been taken.
Yeah, where are they?
And as they're working out what the fuck to do, they hear a scuffle happening over their frequency on their earpieces and they're like, what the fuck is that? And then they hear this posh English voice say, he says something about, are you in the archive room? And all the guards are like, because all the guards can hear it as well. And they're like, oh, what? Archive room. So they start running. So Benji and Ethan have to like, get out of there straight away.
It's not them on the frequency.
Yeah.
Someone else is there.
Someone else is setting them up, basically. And they also go, team leader, are we ready to detonate? Mm. And so everyone's obviously panicking because they're like, detonate.
Bad word.
Ethan, they split up. Ethan runs like through all these stone tunnels and stuff.
Mm-hmm.
And he ends up outside. He, like, as the general is like, close the gates. And then he sneaks out and
just, oh, does the best this costume is change. Really good.
And from what YouTube videos I've watched, apparently genuine spies do this. Like, it's like actually a technique they use where it's really quick.
Sleight of hand.
Yeah, like, so
take off his mask jacket.
His jacket, yeah, just takes off some face pieces. And his jacket, military jacket, when he turns it inside out, is now a puffer jacket.
Like bomber jacket, yeah. And he's wearing a Bruce Springsteen shirt.
Yeah, it's really cute.
So good.
And then he's got some glasses on, and suddenly he's like an American tourist.
In one swift movement, back to being Ethan Hunt.
Which was, really cool.
Yeah.
And, apparently a thing that they try and they actually do. Like, it's about doing it really quickly and no one noticing.
Very impressive.
Yeah, very cool. I would be, like, tripping over my pants. And dropping all my stuff everywhere. There's, like, glasses and fake noses rolling around. So he manages to get out. And on the way out, he actually kind of noticed a grey-haired, distinguished-looking man walking opposite him, which he kind of registered and they kind of nodded at each other. But he actually sees him again outside in the car park. And he looks at him and starts walking towards him. But meanwhile, the Kremlin is blown up. And Ethan goes flying and, like, massive explosion.
Huge.
Many people probably killed, which is a bit sad. And Ethan wakes up in a hospital bed.
Handcuffed.
So, because obviously when he was found, they probably saw inside his jacket and were like, military jacket, eh?
Something sus.
So we're introduced to another antagonist in this movie who is called Sidorov. He is a Russian cop and he's like, you're the one who blew up the Kremlin.
You're down.
You're from America. You're in big trouble.
Mm.
So as he's handcuffed to the bed, Ethan's like, okay, what do I do? Meanwhile, Sidorov gets distracted talking to another cop and Ethan escapes and tries to break out the window. Sidorov catches him and like, what are you going to do? You can't get anywhere. And also, by the way, Tom Cruise is shirtless at this point, which is a good time. In the cold, so, you know, looking great. He's like, oh, I thought this was a good idea. But as he's about to come back in, reluctantly, a van pulls up. And so Ethan grabs his belt, uses it to slide down a telephone wire and lands and crashes on the ground and manages to escape. And, he's escaped the police custody and he's on the run and steals some shoes and a jacket to disguise himself, much to my disappointment. He also nicks a phone and basically arranges an extraction. I don't know what happened with the rest of the team. I'm assuming they've all got a rendezvous point or something. Anyway, they cut now to... I feel like this bit wasn't explained super well. They cut to like a Russian family. So there's a dude watching a TV and he sees the news about the Kremlin exploding and he's watching it and he goes to his wife and his child are in the kitchen. It's like, oh, I think we should go on holiday somewhere. And they're talking in English so the little boy won't understand. And it's like, why? What's wrong? He's like, I just think we need to get away for a minute. And then he hears something on the TV, goes back out and doesn't like what he hears. So he calls out to his wife, like, pack the bags right now. We're going to leave straight away. But
you think he wants to just get out because it's scary where he's living. But
they don't really explain this because he does come back a little bit later because this distinguished grey-haired fellow who Ethan saw is suddenly sitting in the kitchen table. And he is like, oh, we have work to do.
Mm.
So this guy is obviously...
He was expecting this, which is why he wanted to leave.
He was expecting something. So he knows something, which they kind of explain a bit later. Still not sure if it needed to be left in. But anyway, Ethan is picked up by the secretary, which I think is the boss of the IMF or the CIA, I'm not sure, and a chief analyst who is played by Jeremy Renner, who's known as Brandt. If anyone who's watched me post videos watching Mission Impossible 4 and 5 probably know how much I hate Jeremy Renner with every fiber of my being. And I hate that he's in these movies, but the one saving grace is that everyone's really mean to him the whole time. They just pick on him and they don't like him,
For a very long time, I was like, I don't like this character. But there is a turning point. There's a turning point where you're like, all right.
But I just want to punch that man right in the face. I hate him. And I've been reading articles where people are starting to come around and they're like, I think I hate Jeremy Renner. I'm like, yes, finally.
Finally.
He was a horrible Hawkeye and everything he's in, he pisses me off in. So anyway, Brandt is there. And there's like a bit which just pisses me off too. I think it's just because it's Jeremy Renner. Ethan's drawn a picture of this guy's face he saw on his hand. And Jeremy Renner's like,
not a very good.
It's a bit crude, but I think it's this guy called Hendrix. And like, fuck you, he drew
a face on his hand. When did he even have the time to do that? It's amazing.
Fuck off, Jeremy Renner. I hate you.
I thought that was pretty rude.
So, yeah, they now know the name of the villain. His name is Hendrix. So he's apparently a Swedish-born Russian nuclear strategist who believes the weak must die for the strong to survive and wants to start a nuclear war, which is why he would have stolen all of that stuff. Mm. So, and this figure. Okay, this guy's obviously Cobalt. So that mystery is solved at least. The Mr. Secretary is like, the president has initiated Ghost Protocol, which means the whole IMF has been disavowed. It's all shut down.
Is that because they don't trust them?
Because the Russians think it's the IMF who have done it.
Ah, okay.
And so to save face or whatever, they have to shut it down to be like, it's stopped. Like, this is, we're doing our best to sort this out for you.
Yep.
So Ethan's like, oh, crap, we've really stuffed this up. But the secretary is like, but here is a huge big plan that I'm not telling you because I'm not here.
Very sneaky.
That basically you need to do what you can to get this sorted. You're not going to have any help from the office or anything. You just have to do this on your own. And this is explaining all this. And Brandt's like, oh, I don't know if you should. I'm like, fuck off, Brandt. You're chief analyst. Get out of here. And... sorry, my prejudice really comes through in this. Yeah, then suddenly there's shots fired and their car is blown up and it's flipped off into the river. Apparently it was the Russian police, so Kasidorov turns up at one point. It's like, can you please stop shooting them?
Mm.
But yeah, they shoot him into the water and as they're in the car, like, and the secretary is killed. And car flips into the water, Brandt and Ethan are under there. And like, what are we going to do? And Ethan distracts all the shooters by putting
a flare
into the sleeve of, I guess it was the secretary.
Yeah.
And just pushing really him down. Face, so yep. Just they start shooting at that and they manage to get
swim
out in time.
Under the
and Brandt's like, I don't understand why that worked. That shouldn't have worked. And Ethan's like, who cares? It worked.
Yeah, stop it, Brandt.
He's like, but what do you think they were thinking to do that? And he's like, I don't know. They just needed a target and I gave him a target. And I hate you, Brandt. Which I think sets up that Brandt's a pain in the ass.
Mm.
They go to some train tracks and they're following the instructions of the secretary. They find the carriage they need to get on. Have a little bit of trouble because they have to do a retinal
funny,
scan.
Funny fumbly scene of them trying to get on. Loved it.
Not to get killed while the train's going and doing a retinal scan. They get in there and...
The team's there,
yeah. Benji and Jane are in there. It's all set up with IMF tech, so it's obviously... that's all they've got left to solve these big, terrifying mysteries. And Ethan's like, if you guys want out, this is your chance. But they're all like, no, we're stoic like you, Ethan. We're going to stay to the end.
I'd be like,
okay.
Yeah. See ya.
Yeah, I just don't, because the secretary warned them, like, if any of you get caught or killed...
we can't say you're part of this. Yeah.
You're a terrorist. Like, you will have died and everyone will think you're a horrible terrorist. Yeah. So be
it's
careful.
A big risk. Yeah.
Especially as Benji, I would be like, this is like my first day on the job as a field agent. I'm just going to go home and, yeah.
What a disappointment the first day as a field agent and it hasn't gone to plan at all. And now he's not even attached to the IMF or anything. And
yeah. They watch a video about Hendrix talking about how it's kind of a thing that happens in most of the Mission Impossible movies where creating a new world order by blowing everything up. So I think what his plan is, now that the Russians think Americans blew up the Kremlin, that if the Russians retaliate, there'll be a new world war.
Yeah.
So that's what he was trying to instigate. And
he said, like, the only way that nuclear war can affect anything is if it affects everybody equally.
Yes.
And then everything will be okay. It's like a reset.
Yeah, is that what hitting reset and then like the survivors get to scrounge out of the
very
rubble.
Very strange.
I don't know why they think that's the thing. Like, you know, all these innocent people die because it's not going to be the bad people who will die because they've all got bunkers and things.
Yes.
It's fucking idiot terrorists. So we see what his plan was. So they work out, Hendrix had left the Kremlin with the nuclear device that can send off a missile to attack America. So they were, I don't know how they find this out. It's another thing I probably missed, but they have to intercept the code. So the codes are going to be sold by Sabine, who shot Old Mate at the beginning. She's going to be selling them to Hendrix and his right-hand man, Wistrom, and they have to basically intercept that and get the codes because without the codes, this all falls apart. But nothing's going to go to plan.
Of course not. It's only the second thing in the movie.
It's not going to go perfectly. Mission perfectly reasonable, not Mission Impossible.
No.
Now they're in Dubai. Also, I want to know how they fly. Like,
Yeah.
They must obviously have different passports and stuff, but it's 2011, very different. I just feel like it'd be really hard.
I guess that's why they don't film that bit.
Yeah, that's how we're going to see
this
that.
This will be too hard to explain.
But they only have, I think, only have like 30 hours. They only, like, only always have like tight deadlines for all these things. So I'm like, how do you, maybe Benji hacks in and just gives them tickets.
Yeah.
Okay, that probably makes sense.
Yeah, we'll go with that.
Yeah. We don't see that because that's boring. So they've got two hotel rooms and...
Right above each other?
I think, are they right above or right next to you? I was trying to work out because Benji goes between the two rooms because he does things with the...
Sabine is above them.
Oh, and
then, and they're next to each other.
Yes, that's right. Because they're going to use each other as to get the codes and then send off fake codes. Because like Brant has this contact, that fancy contact
photo.
That's like a scan, takes photos and it scrambles the codes. And that's how they're going to give Hendrix the wrong code.
Because it prints it into the briefcase. Is that how I was doing it? Yeah.
So the briefcase is a printer. All a lot. It's taken me a million times to kind of understand it all. They come across their first hiccup. Benji can't access a server because he can't call anyone in the office because there's so many firewalls and heavy like military grade protection on the server room. So the only way to get in to plug in the thing that will give them access is from the outside. And they're actually in, and I forgot the name of the building, but the tallest building in the world, at the Burj Khalifa. That must be the name of it. So the tallest building in the world.
130th floor they need to get to, wasn't it?
Yeah, the 130th floor.
Very good.
And Ethan's like, we have to get there. And Benji's like, well, I'm the computers. And Brand's like, I'm just the helper. So Ethan's like, fuck, well, how am I going to do it? And Benji's like, well, luckily I have these fancy gloves that if you put your hands on the glass, they stick to it. So you just do that. So Ethan goes, this is my favorite bit in all the Mission Impossible movies because I just think, I'm looking at the doll now. But he's wearing like a black vest and black three-quarter pants, and I just think Ethan looks absolutely beautiful, and I'm very, very into this bit of the movie. And also, my favorite thing in the world is kind of bewildered Tom Cruise or bewildered Ethan Hunt, where he's just like, what the fuck have I got myself into?
Yes.
Which is, for some reason, like in the third movie when he's in that car getting about to get blown up, is the hottest version of Tom Cruise that exists, because I'm just like, oh, he's a little bit helpless at the moment. I'm like, I'll save you, Ethan. Yeah. I don't know what it is. I just really, really like it. So he's like putting on the gloves and he's like, okay, all right, blue means glue, red means dead. So you've got to slide your hand on in this way to, and you peel it off to. So anyway, they cut out the window on the, they're like on the 110th floor, 109th floor or something.
So up he goes.
So yeah, he has to climb up on these fucking gloves.
And very quickly they stop working.
Yeah.
Really quickly.
So he's not even all the way up and one of them starts flickering and like he drops a bit and then
he watches it fly off into the.
Yeah, he has to take it off. He just takes it off and just flies away. Later coming back just kind of sticking next to him and falling off again. Infuriating. So has to climb up the last few floors with one glove.
One hand and kind of using his legs as well to stick on each side.
Yeah, he's just got like
very uncomfortable looking.
Yeah, just some column things that he can just kind of climb up between. Like, I just kind of fathom. And just a reminder, he has ropes and stuff attaching him to things, but Tom Cruise is doing this. Yeah, it's
fun. Good one, Tom.
That high too. And they had to get really special. Oh, I think they got permission really easily because Dubai is trying to become like a, not a Hollywood, but like somewhere where people want to film more.
Yep.
So they thought this would be a good way. But they also had to like get all this permission to get the window out because at that height, having a window out actually is bad for the building.
Yeah, and all that airflow coming in.
Yeah. But the building hadn't been finished. So they actually did it on a floor that was empty.
Nice.
So
nice.
The little things like that. But yeah, he manages to get to the server room. He has to like
cut a laser again.
That is laser. And
did you notice when he was doing that, he's not holding on at all. He's just using his legs to steady himself while holding the laser. Terrifying.
Oh, yeah. Oh,
terrifying.
Wow. Like the grippiest shoes in the whole world. Oh, my God.
No.
And then this is the only thing I know, like to know that he's on ropes and stuff, is when he starts kicking in the window to get in. I'm like, there is no possible way with only one glove and thing that you can fly like that. But anyway, he crashes in. He gets in, does his job, and then he can't get out of the server room because he doesn't have a card or anything to get out. And Brant's the whole time is like 3 minutes until they come up to their meeting. 3 minutes, and he just grabs this.
He doesn't even think about it.
He just grabs a nylon cord and attaches it to his belt. I don't fucking know, and just jumps out and just runs down. And that Tom Cruise is doing that. Tom Cruise.
That
watch him
maybe my
down.
Favorite thing in the
it's
whole
so
movie.
It's so cool
how he propels. He runs all the way around and then propels himself back.
Yeah.
And then knocks himself out.
So to when he runs out, it's one of my favorite bits, especially to yell at Brant for he comes down and he's like the rope only gets him two floors above where he has to go. And Brant's like, your cord's not long enough. And he's like, no shit.
Shut up, Brant.
So he's like, okay, I'm going to swing in there. So he runs along the building sideways and then kicks out and does this big arc around, lets go of the cord and hits into the window, but kind of misses, nearly knocks himself out. Mm. And Brant and Jane catch him.
Grab him
just in time.
The very last second.
The very last second, they're all hanging out the window and it's very terrifying.
Yeah,
and
then me butterflies.
Yeah. And then they all sit there like puffing and Benji's like, well, I just had a really hard job of swapping all the numbers around, but I did it.
Thanks, Benji. Thank Thanks. You.
Sweet Benji. I think Sabine has rocked up early,
everyone's rocked up early.
Yeah,
very
and then
scrambled for time.
Wistrom, the right-hand man, has turned up, but he's with another guy, which is the guy from the kitchen, the family. And
oh my God.
Brant is able to recognize him as, didn't write down his name. Oh, he's there to authenticate launch codes. So that's why I think this guy wanted to
leave.
He has
intel.
Because he knew, he has very valuable intel. And now he knows that, he knew that he was going to be roped into this, and he was. And, he has to authenticate the codes, which this is where I get really confused because I don't know what their initial plan was. I can't work out what their initial plan was because now they have to change the plan and thing making the masks breaks down. So now suddenly...
Maybe they were going to stash the real people somewhere. They were going to hit them and
Knock them out.
And then pretend to be them. But instead they have to switch.
Yeah. I don't quite know what the initial plan was, but they're panicking now because like Ethan and Brant had this big fight about, we just have to leave it. It's not going to work. And he's like, if we do, we just give him DUD codes and blah, blah, blah. And like, it's not going to work. We have to actually stop him. So anyway, this bit goes a bit beyond me, but the plan is Jane is going to be with the actual bad guys.
And pretend to be Sabine.
And Sabine is going to meet Ethan and Brant. And Brant has the contact in. And so I know, okay, Sabine has the real papers, but I think I'm figuring it out as I go along. They now can't, the original plan was to give fake codes
but because that guy's there,
they can't
he'll
do
be
that.
Able to tell.
Yes. Mm. Okay, now we're starting to work it out. So they actually have to give the genuine real code. So they've actually put a little tracking device on the papers.
Because they can't let him go away with that.
But they can't let him go away with these fucking codes. Otherwise, he'll blow shit up.
It's ruin the whole thing. Yeah.
That's it. Do everything they don't want him to do. So, and they're like, Benji's like, and also you have to keep him in sight because this is a really weak tracking device because it's tiny and has to be hidden on some papers. So, once he leaves the building, you have to be on his ass. Otherwise, everything goes to pot again. So now I've figured it out. So everything almost goes to plan. Winstrom gets the codes and just leaves. Meanwhile,
Sabine's been a bit sus.
Sabine is real sus on Brant because to take photos, he has to actually blink twice and she can see him, like she's watching his eyes.
What's
and then she goes to hand him the papers and looks at his eye and sees the contact. She's like, kill him. So a bit of a fight breaks out. Sabine starts running and it's like, she's getting away. And Jane's like, I'll get it. And like, don't kill her. She's an asset. Please don't kill her because she killed your boyfriend. Because there's a couple of times where she even says something about, I've killed the best. And you see Jane because Jane can hear everything that's happening. She's like,
don't you dare.
Yep. Talking about my boyfriend. So she chases her. She doesn't kill her. She actually apprehends her and says to Benji, please watch out for her. So why do I have to? Because if I do, I'll kill her. And of course, Sabine immediately overpowers Benji and nearly gets away. Jane and Sabine have a nice big fight in front of the big open window. And it gets to a point where Jane has, and I don't think Jane was in the wrong here. Like,
it was really the only thing she could have
done. Yeah, because Sabine's holding a gun at her, but she's standing near the big open window. So Jane just sidekicks her and kicks her out of the building.
See you, Sabine.
I don't know if there was enough they could get out of Sabine to be worth all that hassle. So anyway, Jane has exacted revenge for the death of her boyfriend, and good on her, I say. Meanwhile, what is it? Ethan has to run after Winstrom because he has the literal code. So follows him down. Like Benji tries to slow his escape down a little bit by stopping the lifts and everything, but there's only so much he can do. He gets down to the bottom and Ethan's right behind him and like acting casual as, except, oh mate, the Russian cop, Sidorov, turns up and is like, hey team leader, I'm here to bust you.
No.
So Ethan's like, okay, cool.
This is bigger than you are.
Yeah. I'm like, I'm not the bad guy here, but sweet. Keep doing that, Russia.
And was that after they killed the innocent guy that knew the intel?
Oh yeah. Oh. I was release that.
And he said, release my family now.
So he released the family. He's like, okay, and shoots this poor guy. And like, yeah, it was really sad.
That was a sad bit.
Still don't quite know who he was, but I'm still sad that he died. And probably his family were killed too, because I don't imagine bad guys give a shit.
No.
Yeah. It's like, yeah, I'll release him into the river dead. Jerks. Yeah, so Ethan now is going to be arrested by a Russian. So he's like, I'm really sorry, and like bashes him up. But meanwhile, Wisdom is like, what's happening? Oh, Ethan's right behind me. I should probably run. So he runs out. Oh, and one thing we missed. When Ethan was up climbing the building, they look on the horizon like, what the hell is that? And there's what looks like a huge big storm off in the distance, but it's in the middle of the desert, so it's some big hectic dust sandstorm. And Benji's like, it's so far away, it's fine.
Yeah, don't worry about it.
Except when, and I love this bit so much, because Windstorm runs out of the building and Ethan's right behind him. Ethan's wearing like this really shiny blue suit, and he looks real nice when he's running, and he's doing these proper Tom Cruise run. They're now running through, and then the sandstorm hits. So to add another layer of complexity to it.
It's really good.
And luckily, Ethan, when he was climbing the building, had a pair of goggles on. And when he got changed, he just stashed them in his pocket.
Yes.
So luckily, he could just chuck them on.
Back they go.
And just nick a bandana thing to wrap around his face. But the visibility is zero. Yeah. And there's like a bit where, you know, he's on his tail, but then does something to distract Ethan. So he almost gets away. But then Ethan's like looking at the tracker and he comes back into range. And
really
he's like,
fast.
He's coming at me really fast. And all of a sudden, there's a car that hits Ethan. And Ethan goes, lands on the top of the car and clings on and is like trying to scramble up and like punch him in the face. And then at one point, just before he nearly gets crushed by something coming his way, Ethan grabs his face and pulls off what is obviously a mask. Mm-hmm. He's like, it wasn't even Wistrom, it was someone else. And Ethan steals a car, manages to chase him and intersects him by, he can see where he's going. He's going off this off ramp to go onto another highway. So Ethan just crosses the road and goes up to intersect him, speeds up, crashes into him, jumps rolls out just in time.
Yes.
And it's really good bit where the car comes flying back and like just misses Ethan as he's lying on the ground. And unfortunately, the person in the car, who we immediately find out is Hendrix all along, wasn't the right-hand man after all. And
he's not in the car anymore.
Not in the car. He's run off and has jumped in a truck and is out of there. Yeah. So he has the codes and their mission has been unsuccessful. Which is fucking, what a pain. Like all that. He climbed an outside of a building 130 floors up and is like,
and
bye.
They're gone.
See ya. Yeah. The papers.
Disappointing.
Yeah. I think after that integral scene, we might actually have to pause for a minute there, Chloe.
Sure.
Because we've gone for a little while. Uh-oh. So, no, that's all right. Like I said before, there's a lot that happens in this movie. If anyone's confused, the synopsis on IMDb is actually really good to help clear things up. It helped for me a lot.
Yes, I had to refer to that a few times.
Yeah. But yeah, so sandstorms happened and Hendrix has made off with the codes that he needs to set off a missile. And what's the IMF going to do now? I guess stay tuned until next week, but we'll go through that. Just before we go, a reminder that you can find my social media by going to Tom Cruise Reviews on Instagram, Tom Cruise Review, no S, on Twitter, or my website, tomcruisereviews.com. We'll just wrap that up for this week. Thank you for joining me, Chloe.
No worries. Thank you, Carl.
And I'll see you in 1 week's time.
Excellent. See you then.
Bye.
Bye.